Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, the NFC Championship at the Georgia Dome. The Packers season ends with a thud, I guess you would say, 44-21 at the hands of a red-hot Atlanta Falcons team, and particularly an Atlanta Falcons offense that just wasn't going to be stopped.
No, they weren't, Mike. And, I mean, nobody really stopped Matt Ryan this year. You look at the course of the season, only three games in which he had a 90 or less passer rating. The Falcons actually were winless in those three games to show you how much they really swung with their quarterback. But he was everything you could look for in a legitimate MVP candidate. He was able to connect with Julio Jones, his top target, when he needed to. He was able to, you know, get out of the pocket, rush, scramble for first downs. He utilized his running backs. And Mohamed Sanu had another big game against the Packers. So, yeah, when I look at Atlanta's offense, we all know what to expect with them coming in. And obviously, we got another big dose of what the Falcons can bring to the table.
Yeah, Matt Ryan throwing for nearly 400 yards, throws for four touchdowns, rushes for a fifth touchdown. Julio Jones with a big game, nine catches, 180 yards, two scores. Jones getting the 73-yard touchdown at the beginning of the third quarter that was really the backbreaker. Stretch it from 24-0 to 31-0. I think as a Packers fan, you look at this and, yeah, you wonder about the what-ifs. Mason Crosby misses a field goal on the opening drive. Aaron Ripkowski fumbles when it looks like the Packers are going to have first and goal. Instead of maybe being 10-10 there in the second quarter, you're at 10-0. And then at the end of the second quarter, you miss some opportunities for turnovers. The Falcons take advantage of those missed opportunities to tack on more scores and get to 24-0 at half. You wonder what might have been, but then you also wonder would it really have mattered as well as Atlanta was playing and as hot as they were.
Yeah, they were tough to stop. And I thought one of the observations you made during the game, too, I mean, their defense, how they've improved throughout the course of the year and in the way that they're playing right now, how they use Vic Beasley in that scheme. Just a lot of really young, dynamic football players on both sides of the ball. And that's what stood out to me, you know, particularly on the offensive side. Everybody knows Julio Jones, what he can do, arguably the best receiver in the league right now. And around them, though, they have a lot of speedy, quick, elusive guys that were able to make big plays. I thought the Packers' defense, it was a lot like what we've seen for most of the season. They did a good job stopping the run. You know, Freeman and Coleman didn't get many yards on that side of it. But just when it came to, you know, the third downs, 10 of 13, the Falcons were in that contest. It just seemed like whenever Matt Ryan needed to make a pass, he made it. And being able to keep moving the chains like that, it's going to end up on the scoreboard. And unfortunately for the Packers, where they've been saved in recent weeks by being able to, you know, get some stops in the red zone, weren't able to do that. The 3 points become seven. And you end up having the result that you did.
Yeah, Matt Ryan ends up with a passer rating in the high 130s, and I wonder if it might have been even higher without a couple of early drops by his receivers. You mentioned the third downs. The Packers had some opportunities there. There were some third and six, third and 10, even a third and 11 early on in the ballgame. Those are your opportunities to get a stop and get off the field. And Matt Ryan, his accuracy, he was just pinpoint. The pass rush couldn't get to him. His quick release, the ball is always coming out. Just an offense that was in rhythm, and even a few drop passes early didn't get them out of rhythm. Matt Ryan was always able to overcome whatever small mistake they made, and when the Packers would make a big mistake, there was a third down where a fullback was left basically uncovered in the flat, catches a short pass and runs 30 yards down the field to help set up a score. You know, the Packers weren't able to overcome those mistakes. It always cost them.
Yeah, and unfortunately for the Packers, I mean, the ball just didn't bounce their way. You know, Taylor Gabriel comes on that end around, kind of off the motion. Max snaps it. It ends up hitting him in the thigh, falls down. Falcons fall on top of it. You have I think it was the botched snap there later on or whatever that issue was with Matt Ryan. He is able to recover it. So it was one of those games where when you needed something to swing your direction to kind of turn the momentum a little bit, it just didn't happen. And when you get off to a 24-0 lead at halftime, that's such a big deficit to overcome. As Clay Matthews said in the locker room afterwards, it forced the defense to try to get a little bit more aggressive. That probably worked against them. And in Ryan being able to elude the pass rush, wasn't sacked in this contest, was able to go to work, and obviously we've seen all year long what he can do when he's given time.
Yeah, so many things that the Packers had done so well during the eight-game winning streak, during this remarkable run to get to where they got to. But then all those things just went wrong. Mason Crosby had made 23 consecutive field goals in the playoffs. He hadn't missed one since the Packers blowout win in the Georgia Dome 6 years ago in the 2010 playoffs. He misses one to start the game. The Packers hadn't lost a fumble since the Houston game in early December at Lambeau Field. They lose a fumble in the first quarter. The defense had done such a good job taking the ball away throughout this stretch. Jake Ryan has a chance for a fumble recovery. Can't quite get it. Marwin Evans and Ladarius Gunter have chances for interceptions down at the goal line. They can't bring those passes in. And just all those things that the Packers had done so well did not go well on Sunday, and it added up to a three-touchdown loss.
Yeah, and when you mentioned that fumble, too, you have to go back even farther to the last time that the Packers actually had a fumble by a running back.
Right. I mean,
they had done such a tremendous job of protecting that football between the tackles. Didn't happen there, and obviously, as Mike McCarthy said afterwards, when those things compound, you bring in this run they'd been on, they kind of ran out of gas, and this is where they find themselves.
Yeah, all right. Well, with that, Wes, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkiewicz there. And Wes, for the Packers, the beginning, or I guess the early stages of pregame, a lot of good news in terms of the Packers getting some guys back from injury. You give Jordy Nelson a heck of a lot of credit for playing through the broken ribs with a lot of protection there around his midsection. I can't imagine how much pain he was playing in. But Geronimo Allison, Devontae Adams also give it a go on their injuries. Morgan Burnett on the defensive side plays with his thigh injury. But then a whole bunch of guys start dropping like flies, kind of the microcosm of the season, I guess. The Packers are just never able to shake the injury bug at all. And by the end of the game, you've got three of your starting offensive linemen on the sidelines, and you've got a defensive lineman playing on the offensive line just to kind of run out the clock and get through the ball game.
Yeah, you know, starting off with Jordy Nelson, I don't know what more you can say about him to play through that injury. I asked Jared Cook about that after the game, and he said it shows you a lot about a guy's heart and his character to want to step up in a game where he did not have to.
Yep.
Jordy Nelson did not have to play in this game, and nobody would have faulted him for it.
Right.
But when you think about it, Mike, here's a guy who missed an entire season of his NFL career. We all know how short that window is, you know, to make an impact in this league. That one full season was taken away from Jordy Nelson. And although Jordy didn't say this, and I'm not trying to put words in his mouth, but you can see that he wasn't going to let that injury stop him from being on the field on Sunday night. Devontae Adams said it too. I mean, just the toughness that he showed, and also to make an impact.
Yeah.
Two catches for 42 yards to start off the game. He caught a touchdown later on to still be able to be effective with all that extra padding, as you said. And you could tell he was in pain. You knew he was in pain, but he didn't let it show. He was asked about it afterwards. He said, "I'm fine." But for him to go out there and play, I think when you think of this Packers 2016 team and what they dealt with, the adversity they faced, the injuries that they had to overcome, Jordy Nelson's performance on Sunday night really bodied that.
Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers, in his post-game press conference, he was asked about what Nelson was playing through, and he almost couldn't even get the words out. You know how close these guys are, how long they played together, how many great memories they have. And, you know, Rodgers just really gave a very short comment about how proud he is and just incredible that Nelson was out there. And the emotions, you know, started to kind of overcome Rodgers just for a moment there, and he kind of had to cut himself off. But just an illustration of how much it means to these guys and how close some of these guys are in the locker room. These players who play together for a long time, like Rodgers and Nelson, are really good friends, and they really appreciate what each other does to get out there in a game of this magnitude. And Nelson, with six receptions for 67 yards, he takes over the franchise's number one spot in terms of career postseason receptions. He now has 54, surpassing Greg Jennings, who was at the top of that list with 50. But yeah, what else can you say? Mike McCarthy also commented on just Jordy's commitment to be a Green Bay Packer was the phrase that he used, and that sums it up pretty well.
Yeah, and then you look at the other guys across the board. You touched, I mean, Devontae Adams playing through the ankle sprain, Geronimo Allison playing through the hamstring injury, Morgan Burnett ends up playing basically the entire game with the quad, especially after they lose his backup, Kentrell Bryce, early on. Micah Hyde exits. TJ Lang had a setback with the foot that he had broken. Lane Taylor leaves with a knee injury. Brian Bulaga's is all evaluated for concussion. Just what they had to do in that game alone to get as far as they did, that's tough, and it's a tough road. And I think that's what was one of the things when, Clay Matthews mentioned it. A lot of guys talked about the locker room. This team just had this feeling of destiny because they've basically had seen everything that they could possibly see throughout the course of the season, and they still mounted an 8-game winning streak in spite of it. And unfortunately for them, it just won't end in a championship this year.
Yeah, and Mike McCarthy said afterwards he's certainly going to remember the good moments, certainly the 8-game winning streak along the way. I mean, not only did the Packers salvage their season, they gave themselves a season to celebrate, even though it didn't end the way they wanted it to. Nobody wanted to walk out of the Georgia Dome with a loss on Sunday night. But to come back really from the brink at 4-6 and to play with your back against the wall for 2 months, not able to afford a loss all the way along, and to get as far as they did, an impressive run that really brought a lot of guys together. Now, every season is going to be new. There'll be some personnel changes. We all know that. The roster will look different next year. But there's going to be something special to remember about the 2016 Packers, even though this last game was not what everyone hoped for.
And that's what a Packers analyst, Larry McCarron, asked Jared Cook in the locker room, too, about. There was something about special that was about this year's team. And Cook said absolutely. Although this was his first year in Green Bay, you could really see how close-knit this group was, how much they cared about it, how much everybody wanted to lay it on the line for their teammates. It's incredible, Mike, when you really think back to that 4-6 spot, what the narrative was, the conversation nationally, everybody really discounting this team's ability to make the playoffs, but even pull this thing together to have a salvageable season. They thought it was the beginning of a tailspin.
Yeah.
And as it ends up resulting in their 8th consecutive playoff appearance, 4th NFC North title in 5 years, and another trip to the NFC title game. But as everybody in that locker room will tell you, still, 2 victories short of their ultimate goal.
Yeah, not everybody gets to win the Super Bowl, obviously. As Mike McCarthy said, getting to this point is not for everybody, and that's why you work hard and you compete and you let the chips fall. But with that, we'll throw it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, an interesting comment from Aaron Rodgers after the game. I wasn't expecting him to go there necessarily, but he said one thing that he learned from this game and that he hopes everybody takes in after a game like this is that you got to start playing these NFC Championship games at home. Rodgers has played in 3 of them now, and Jordy Nelson among them, and some others on the team who have been there that long. They played in 3 NFC Championship games, all of them on the road. They won the first one in Chicago, but I think it's fair to say that the last 2 in Seattle and in Atlanta, the home crowd being on the road definitely was a factor in the Packers not being able to come out on top. And for everything that the 4-game losing streak gave all this adversity for the Packers to overcome and for this team to come together, it was that month-long funk, I guess you might say, that is really what cost this team an opportunity to be playing at Lambeau Field with a shot to go to the Super Bowl instead of the other way around.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Mike, and it's tough because the thing is that you have to understand it's always difficult playing on the road in the NFL. That's just the way life is. But when you get to these NFC title games, I mean, look at what was kind of in the back pocket, so to speak, of the Falcons. They were at home. They had an energy, just an amount of excitement in that crowd.
Yeah.
It's the last game at the Georgia Dome, and they're trying to get back to the Super Bowl for the first time in nearly 2 decades.
Right.
How much was on the line for them? They had, as you mentioned this past week in your one last look, they had demons to exercise.
Yep.
After what happened 4 years ago against San Francisco. So there was a fan base that was really, really excited about this football game. And we could hear it, especially in that venue, with as much concrete as there was for the reverberation of that sound and that energy. And that's difficult. That's difficult for anybody to play through. I was impressed personally that there weren't more pre-snap penalties. There weren't many false start penalties on Green Bay's behalf. They played pretty well-disciplined football from a penalty perspective.
Yeah.
But as far as the communication aspect goes, you even saw it. I think it was Marwin Evans when he was trying to communicate to get somebody over to get on that fullback. I think that was DeMarco on that one pass play you were talking about earlier.
Yep.
Those are the things you're dealing with, and that's the type of thing that you know, it doesn't. I don't know if it fully equates to a win or a loss, but it certainly doesn't work to your advantage.
Yeah, and you could see on a few plays, especially in the first half when Aaron Rodgers was under some pressure, the Falcons were calling blitzes and getting free runners at the quarterback, which we don't see a whole heck of a lot. The Packers' offensive line, as we had talked about, such a great job in pass protection, and it wasn't a matter of guys getting beat, but it looked like it was communication issues where somebody who's blitzing is not being picked up, and that free runner ends up wrecking the play, whether it's a sack or forcing the throwaway, and really kept the Packers' offense from finding any kind of a rhythm, even though they had the opportunity to score the 10 points early on, as we talked about. But then after that, you know, for the Packers to head into the locker room with 0 points on the scoreboard after the way this offense had been playing for the last 2 months, it was just a stunner, really.
Well, and flip the page, too. If that's the Packers going in 24-0 and you have a missed field goal and a fumble inside the red zone that your defense got, that's going to give your defense more confidence. And that's something I think when you saw the Falcons on the field, Jalen Collins, the rest of those guys, just throughout the course of the game, it was a self-fulfilling prophecy. It snowballed on the Packers in that way, because when those big plays go work against you, when you do have those takeaways, when you do have those missed opportunities, those are things that are going to be a feather in the cap for the defense. And I just think as you saw that game wear on, Atlanta's defense just got more and more confident. And really, when you look at the second half of the season and how they've been able to take away the football after a kind of a rough stretch early on, that's kind of been something that I think has really helped them get to this point and obviously now to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and the Packers trying to do everything in the second half in desperation mode to come back. Rodgers throws 3 touchdown passes. You try a couple of onside kicks, but you know, you're not able to steal a possession there, and the Packers just never able to close the gap after the rough first half. But with that, Wes, let's take care of a little sponsor business. We all know that Green Bay fans are the most devoted fans in the league, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious chunky beef with country vegetables. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, before we go, let's just touch briefly on the Super Bowl matchup. Super Bowl 51 will be the Atlanta Falcons against the New England Patriots. You have one franchise making its second ever appearance in a Super Bowl and the first since the 1998 season. The other franchise making its 9th Super Bowl appearance and 7th in the Bill Belichick, Tom Brady era. You talk about a remarkable run. Now, whether Brady and Belichick can get ring and trophy number 5, I guess we'll have to see. What are your thoughts on this matchup?
Well, it's an exciting matchup. I find it, the thing that I think is most interesting is the Patriots do it unlike any other team in the NFL. I mean, they trade Collins in the middle of the year. Everybody's like, what are you doing? You know, they send him out to Cleveland for a mid-round draft pick. They just keep trugging along.
Yeah.
You lose Rob Gronkowski. Yeah, we're fine.
Yeah.
The way that they respond to things is incredible. And I saw that stat, too. I think it was, it's the 23rd consecutive game that they haven't had a rusher go over 90 yards in either. I don't know if that's the postseason. It must be the postseason. It's on Tom Brady, and he makes it work. He makes it work with, you know, Julian Edelman and everything else they have going. I mean, you look at what the Patriots have built, you just have to tip your cap to it. And for the Falcons' perspective, Matt Ryan's finally getting to a Super Bowl now. So what can he do with that opportunity? Can they keep their momentum going? I think when you look at it, it's a new fresh matchup, two really great quarterbacks. I think it's going to be a fun game to watch.
Yeah, definitely. The Falcons, the league's number one offense, and they proved they're number one for a reason against the Packers. They'll be facing a defense in the New England Patriots that's awfully tough, that really clamped down on the Pittsburgh Steelers in the AFC Championship game, never really let Ben Roethlisberger and that Steelers offense get going. That's an interesting matchup. I think the storyline throughout the next couple of weeks will be that experience factor. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and these guys have all been there before. Now, Dan Quinn has been to a Super Bowl with the Seattle Seahawks when he was the defensive coordinator there, but this is brand new territory for Matt Ryan and pretty much everybody on that Atlanta Falcons roster. Now, they didn't shrink from the big stage by any means in the NFC Championship against Green Bay, but the Super Bowl is a whole nother ball of wax, I guess, and I'm really interested to see if Atlanta can continue to play at the level that they played at in these playoffs.
Yeah, and I give a lot of credit to not only Quinn, but also their GM, Thomas Dimitrioff, to get them to this point. They were close, and I think there was some disappointment. Obviously, they made the coaching change 2 years ago from Mike Smith. They got off to a great start last year, and then they weren't able to sustain that. They made, I think, some really smart, savvy moves as far as free agency was concerned, and also have drafted really well. I think that's the biggest thing. When you look at a lot of these teams that end up making the Super Bowl, specifically out of the NFC in recent years, there tends to be a really good draft class about 2 or 3 years before that for them. I mean, a game-changing draft class. That's how Seattle did it. And now you look at Atlanta, how they've made this run. It's impressive. So now the question is, as you said, can Matt Ryan and a bunch of really young players across the board on both sides of the ball, do they have what it takes to overcome 39-year-old Tom Brady and Bill Belichick? That's going to be a great storyline to follow.
Yeah, I'm really anxious to see this Super Bowl because the Falcons offensively have looked unstoppable. The Seahawks have no slouch of a defense.
Right.
They scored 36 points. The Packers obviously had their struggles on defense and gave up 44. The Patriots are a whole different defense they're going to face now. But with that, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com on Twitter. He's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.